Well, I think we can call this mailbag a bulky bag because there's a lot of interaction that has taken place over the last week. We have literally, I bet you there were 50 to 100 comments and questions concerning just the home run jacket. So we are going to be thorough. Because this is the thing, is that there tends to be this idea with the home run jacket that there's two sides to this thing, right? There's the people who hate fun. And then there's the people who love fun. And the responses to this, there's like 10 different sides to this thing. So I just want to be thorough, get them all out there. And then we're not talking the jacket anymore. We're good. We've
All
gotten it out of the
right.
way before the season starts.
Right. Yeah, it'll never come up again.
And it'll never come up again until 2025 when Vladdy sits down with Hazel May, as is the custom. Okay. Welcome to the walk-off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, the mustache man himself, or what do we call those? Mutton chop into a
I
mustache?
don't know. I thought, if I just nick a line right here,
It's
put some
just
vanilla
mustache.
ice lines in my the side, it's technically separated, and then we're good. So
Because that's what qualifies as a mustache, free floating facial hair.
free floating facial hair. Yes. Apologies for everybody seeing my chin for the first time. Chins.
Have you ever
That.
done just a goatee? Just a big goatee?
Never done a,
Speaking of
never
free
done,
floating facial hair.
never done a big goatee. I have, when I was in like high school, I did a small goatee because I loved Eric Hinsky and that's what he had. So I grew the same thing,
Right.
but it wasn't a
Rookie of the
big
year.
one. Yeah. Rookie of the year
2020,
for,
2003, rookie of the year.
yeah, there you go. So
One of his
that's,
best seasons, that first one. We were so hopeful
oh
for
man.
Mr. Hinsky.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, good morning. We've lost all of our rhythm, Scott.
I don't think we ever had rhythm, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. It is a Tuesday afternoon mailbag, a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon, I should say. Big tip of the hat to all of you who were so interactive this week. We got more than normal amount of DMs. Our YouTube comment section was filled to the brim. Appreciate all of you taking the time to let your voice be heard. The grounds crew keeping us moving here. If you are a member of the Patreon, of course, you get that automatic Patreon bump and you get your comments and questions on the mailbag. No questions asked. But we're looking after everyone or as many of you as we can. So feel free to reach out on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. Just DM us. You can do the same thing on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. And I do comb through the Discord, which is a Patreon exclusive. I want to just give a quick shout out to the Discord here because there's about 30 people. So we've got over 100 in our Patreon at this point. And I would say only about a third of those people use the Discord. But it's funny because everyone is involved in Patreon for their own reasons and for different reasons. Yeah, you have people who just love to follow along with the podcast and the extra content like MLB Mondays and the screenwriting we're doing every Thursday, Wednesday is why some people are there. There's literally, I swear, there's a chunk of people who follow the podcast, but they're there mostly just to converse in Discord with everybody. It's worth the $4 a month to talk nonstop Blue Jays baseball 24/7. There's so different many time zones and stuff in there, and folks are so interactive and so active in general that if you are a person who lacks that outlet for baseball, Discord, walk off Discord,
There you
baby.
go.
I check in every couple days, and honestly, dude, there's so much stuff I can't even like. I can't.
I
I'm
know.
like, wow.
Yeah. Like, wow, these guys should start doing a podcast. They're sure into the Jays.
Yeah, that's right.
All
That's right.
right.
All right, and on that, that's all the housekeeping. Let's get into it.
Oh, hold on. Two things. Well, first, yesterday you texted me an article.
Yes. Hey.
Which. I was really
From
impressed with.
Baseball Canada, written by Bob Elliott. who most people know as one of the top analysts in baseball in this country for decades. And he was naming the top 140 most influential Canadians in this country's baseball system. Adam and I got an honorable mention.
That's cool.
It's ridiculous, but I was pretty honored. I was like, shit, that's really freaking cool. We're being recognized by people deep in this baseball game. So,
not bad. Not bad. I mean, I wish you hadn't have said how many people were on this list, though, that we didn't make the 140 person cutoff, unfortunately.
No, we didn't make the 100.
Because the way you presented it when you sent it to me was it sounded like a tighter podium.
A tighter list.
Right? So it sounded like, oh, we're just outside the top 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope. It's,
no. Those spots were allotted to the Alex Anthopoulos's, Justin Morneau's, Joey Votto's of the world. If you played Major League Baseball and were Canadian, you pretty much were guaranteed to make that top 140.
Yes.
And
if you
work
for Sportsnet or the Blue Jays in any capacity, you filled out the rest of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But then, other than that, that's us, baby. We're one of the other 500 honorable mentions, so something to hang a hat on, really. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to the mailbag, Joel, friend of the show. Hey, commie.
Actually, before we get into Joel.
Okay.
Saturday night, I'm in Cape Breton. I'm playing Breton Brewing. If you're into a comedy show and you know a Cape Bretoner, send them that way there. It's going to be a fun show. I love playing Breton Brewing. I could do it every time I'm out this way. And get your tickets at the brewery. There's only going to be like, there's 50. It's a small little brewery, 50 tickets. It's going to be a great show. Spread the word, folks. I need you, grounds crew. Let it all out.
Usually there's a ticket link in the comment section.
Normally there's a ticket link.
I love that. On Friday, I asked you for the link. I'm like, what's the link to the tickets? You're like, oh, there's no link. They just have to get them at the brewery. I was like, oh, I wonder why they haven't sold any tickets then yet.
Which is the most Cape Breton small town thing ever. Oh, we don't need a ticket link. People will just come in and get it. It's like,
Yeah, it's just, I mean, just requires a second trip, right? Which,
yes,
who can be bothered with a second trip?
But that's what the brewery wants. Come grab a six pack, get a ticket.
Exactly. I mean, on the one hand, I totally get it. It makes sense. On the other hand, if it's not working, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
All right. Here I am, the Nathan Fielder of business advice. That's a deep cut. Nobody will get except maybe my brother. Joel is in Florida for three spring training games. So this is what we wanted to say. Friend of the show, Joel. Hey, commie. You know him. You love him from the sticky stuff. Is in Florida right now. So he is at the Jays-Orioles game this afternoon. You probably won't hear or see this in time to interact with him. But if you see him, go give him a shove right in the chest. Elaine Benes. Just shove him right into the cupboards. So
get out.
Get out, Jerry. He's also at the next two games against the Pirates and the Braves as well. So he's doing TikTok content from Florida and is encouraging people to come say hello, just as you had a bunch of people interact with you while you were down there with your wife. So there you go. Joel's down there. Go throw a loony hot dog at him.
Nice.
Okay.
And on that.
On that note, we're 9 minutes in. Let's get to the mailbag.
Yeah.
Mish on Patreon says, okay, we went a little hard with to the core, the new hashtag. I still don't like it. Do you like it? No.
I was mocking it this morning on Twitter.
Right. It's terrible. Mish says, here's a little more context with to the core. She says, I believe the capitalized TO in the slogan is intentional. To refer to Toronto, sure, as in T-O. Toronto is the core of Ontario. Ontario / Quebec is considered the core of Canada. I don't know if I've read a more Toronto sentence than this.
Mm-hmm.
Ontario and Quebec. This might, is it right out of the lips of Justin Trudeau, Ontario and Quebec is the core of Canada.
Why do Westerners constantly feel dissed by Ontario?
Right. Right, exactly. She goes on to say the downtown area of Toronto, where the Jays mash, is referred to as, quote unquote, the core. If you're downtown, you're in the core. Also, when you're a diehard fan slash believer of something, you're considered diehard to the very core of your being. I am a diehard Jays fan to my core. Big surprise, I know. I'm just glad they came up with something other than next level and nothing referring to the six. Okay. I don't agree with much of what Misha's saying here. Rein me back in.
Listen, it feels like, you know, the Russian dolls?
Yeah, where, the nesting dolls.
Yeah. Right. So the big one's Canada. This is what you got to envision it like a metaphor, Adam. Maybe that'll make you better. Right. Okay. And then you take, right, out of the core of the big one, you take the smaller dolls. We'll call that Ontario, Quebec. And then you open up that small doll. Right. What's in there? Toronto, the core of Ontario, Quebec, as we all know. Then you open up that small door. Right. That small doll. Another doll. Right. That's downtown, or as they call it in Toronto, the core.
Hold on.
Maybe it was a comprehension thing. That's what I'm worrying for. You know, like
I'm struggling. I'm struggling on my SATs here. I'm never going to get into a good school. I mean,
people who like this hashtag are going to hate this section.
It's only people who live in Toronto. Like, why didn't they just go hashtag center of the universe? Hashtag who cares about the prairies? I think would have been just as good. Hashtag is BC still in Canada? I didn't know that. All right. Anyways, referring to downtown Toronto as the core and thinking that, like, that's why it's to the core. It's a pun because of downtown Toronto. Like, every fucking downtown is the core. Like, so I'm not buying that. I just hate it because, you know, when you go into like, you're in a building and you go into like the stairwell and then there's like a little map on the wall that says like you're on the fourth floor. And then there's like a, you can go up to the hashtag next level or you can go down to the rock bottom. And then if you keep going past rock bottom, you get hashtag to the core. Like it's just, it's down. It's not up. I will say, one thing I agree with, I'm glad there's no six involved.
Yes. Yes.
Otherwise, but it's still a dumb slogan.
You don't get away with constantly banging the drum that this is Canada's team and then doing something like the six. Even their marketing knows that.
Even Joey Votto knows to not do that.
Yes.
Which, by the way, another apology letter from Joey Votto. Over the weekend, which you immediately sent to me, and I felt very targeted.
Yes, as you should, because I was literally directing it to you. And it was funny because on Twitter yesterday, Avery of Gate 14 tweeted it out, and he's like, "All right, I've broke. I'm going to forgive him." And I was like, I retweeted that, and I was just like, "Avery caved. Now the only holdout is Adam, and I swear I'm working on him."
Not quite there yet. Not quite there yet. Here's where I'm at. I don't hold a grudge against him as a ball player. If he makes the team, I'm not going to be like, ooh, fuck that guy. I'm just not going to wear like a special Canada Day red Blue Jays jersey with Joey Votto on the back and be like eating my maple dips.
Yeah,
celebrating the Canadian of it all. Like that's just been disconnected and I don't care. Like it's fine. It's Johnny Damon playing for the Yankees and saying nobody really cares about these team rivalries. Just the fans do. And it's like, just okay. I don't know. It's
you and Joey Votto. You both don't care that he's Canadian.
I've been hurt and I've been hurt deep. Some would say hashtag capital T O the core. All right. Hashtag Joey Votto, but the last T and O are capitalized. That's what I'll say about that.
By the way, Mish is right. For sure, there was a think tank in the marketing department of Rogers who was like, if we capitalize the T-O, then that represents Toronto. Like, she's right. It's just, it doesn't make me like it anymore.
The best, and I hate to say this because of the sport that it is, but the best team slogan, catchphrase, trending hashtag ever was the Raptors with like We the North or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Agreed.
That
agreed.
Was just like, it was great. Man, it was ominous. So all of Canada is north of everywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
So.
No, it was brilliant marketing. We the North literally is tops when it comes to just marketing slogans, without a doubt.
It was great. And then when you had What's-His-Face calling out three-pointers from way downtown, and then he started, like, adding these, like, small communities all over Canada. To
From Fredericton, New Brunswick!
Right, exactly. That's good. That's good. So,
good old Matty Devlin. Nobody liked him as a Blue Jays announcer, but boy, was he a hero to the...
Hashtag stay in your lane. All right. Almost got you to do a spit take there, Scott. That was good.
What a nice positive start to this mailbag we have had, as we're just like bitterly saying, it all sucks.
All right. Well, let's spin to something less controversial than the hashtag then.
Right into the home run.
The home run jacket. I like the way you're putting headings in the show notes that you send me for mailbag. This one was Jacket Schmacket.
That's great. Yeah, thanks.
So we had a wide range of jacket takes. Susan from YouTube says, I like the enthusiasm and fun that... Sorry, before I do this, are we going to just read all of these comments and then have a conversation? Or are we going to pick each one of these apart and shit on them? Sorry, you know what I mean.
Are we going to stay the course for the day, or are we going to... No, let's try and get through them, because they are all jacket orientated. But I mean, yeah, like, we can comment as we go.
Okay. All right. Susan says, I like the enthusiasm and fun that the return of the home run jacket would bring. It has a special meaning to me because it represents respect for our players' diverse backgrounds. Good for Vladdy for bringing it up. There are so many worse things. Like the shopping cart and the Viking hat for two. Dulcimerist says, the purpose of the jacket has been to celebrate unity amongst all the players who come from all over the world. The jacket had a patch on it from every country that players from the team came from. I like that aspect of the jacket. I didn't see the jacket being brought out in games. Oh, I didn't like seeing the jacket brought out in games where the Jays were getting pummeled, though. Heineken.
So let's stop right there for just a second, because that's part of the gray area here, is that we got a lot of those, like a lot of kind of echoing Dulcimerist, and Susan for that matter, just that they really
enjoy love the jacket. Go easy when we're getting spanked.
Yes. Which tough not to agree with that. Mm-hmm. I feel a little differently about the jacket than Susan, but I still agree with everything she said. You know, like, I'm like, yeah.
You like it in spite of the fact that it represents a diverse background. Okay, got it.
Okay, thank you, Adam. Okay. I appreciate you clearing that up for everybody.
Right. You're like, you know, the jacket's a really nice jacket, other than all the stupid tacky countries on the back.
Other than the unifying quality of it, I really like it, you know, just as like a way for them to stay warm in the dugout.
Right. Okay. Heineken on YouTube says, I, for one, would like to see the jacket back. The team wasn't fun to watch last year, so bring some fun back. Keep in mind, Hazel is also a Rogers employee. So if the team wanted the jacket squashed, it could have, since this wasn't a live interview. Here's a thought. was the jacket taken away so the focus could be on this bud's for you when a homer was hit.
Which is funny, and I mean, I like the double-edged sword of like Rodgers is fine with it, but also maybe Rodgers just wants to sell more advertising. I do want to just really quickly mention the Hazel May thing. The jacket wasn't taken away because the front office didn't want it, or Rodgers didn't want it, or the Sportsnet analyst didn't want it. The jacket was stopped because the team decided they didn't want to do it anymore. Right? Like this, and yes, Vladdy obviously didn't like this decision. But just because Vladdy didn't like the decision doesn't mean the decision wasn't a group decision. It doesn't mean that there weren't obviously players within the clubhouse who really felt strongly that maybe they needed to go in a different direction. All I'm saying is Rodgers isn't the one who stamped out the jacket.
And if they were, it wouldn't be to focus on this buds for you. If anything, they would just get a brand name jacket, perhaps a Canada Goose jacket, right?
Yes.
Hey, here's a better jacket. This one will keep you warm. Those are expensive jackets.
The Molson Canadian, or no, I guess the Budweiser Canadian Goose.
Right?
There jacket, you go. Right?
You know what? Problem with that, though, I don't think there's many baseball fans aren't bougie. I don't think there's many baseball fans that could afford a Canada Goose jacket.
Possible.
I speak as a representative of the I Can't Afford a Canada Goose Jacket Club. So, all right. Oh, while we're on the topic of beers and advertising, this Women's Pro Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
You see Molson was like, I don't know if they sponsored the whole league or one of the teams, but they
the whole league
and moved the names down to the butts and put the Molson up where the ponytail hangs. I just thought, like, to the core, that is a great, everything about that was like a home run. I'm mixing my metaphors here with hockey and baseball, but like that was well executed and perfect. I don't have anything else to add to that. Just that I saw that a few weeks ago and I thought this was meant to be brought up and it didn't get brought up, but there you go. Pretty sure it was Molson. Hold on. I got Final Draft popping up. I clicked on the wrong thing, Scott. I'm panicking.
Okay. I got it. Mustard Tiger. Okay. You want to just quietly do this and I'll read it out, or
you want to just quietly have a fucking meltdown, bud? Oh, do you insist on making sounds while I try and right the ship? Oh, okay. Fun. This is great audio, Adam. Okay. Well, I'm back. So this, go ahead.
This is, if you want to read it, go ahead. This is my favorite take of all of the takes so far. This was Mustard Tiger on the jacket. He says, you need full buy-in because it dispels the magic of the stupidity you're all doing. I'm not sure if you were too old for this nonsense, but I remember growing up in the Jackass era where we would do all kinds of dumb shit and film it. Pranks on neighbors, dangerous stunts, getting in shopping carts, and then going down a hill, and really needed full mob mentality for it to work. As soon as one person was like, no, I'm not jumping off that 20-foot high roof. That's insane. Or no, I can't sneak out at 1 a.m. to go egg houses. Suddenly the absurdity of it all comes into focus. I mean, for me, that's probably the only way you're going to get me marching around a field with a fucking Viking helmet on and a cloak in front of 40,000 people. So if Bo doesn't want to wear the jacket, suddenly other people feel stupid.
Yeah.
I just like the analogy of it.
It's a great analogy. It's totally accurate. It, I think, sums up perfectly. It's because I'm it's the same true. Way.
If
I'm
the Boston Red Sox, if the Boston Red Sox had half the clubhouse that didn't want to jump in the shopping cart and go for a ride down the bench there, it wouldn't happen. So you kind of do need that 100% buy-in to do something so silly and fun. Listen, I don't even think Mustard Tiger's saying this isn't fun. It's just like to do something so juvenile and childish, you need everyone to celebrate it and be involved and enjoy it. Otherwise,
right. Vladdy wears the jacket. Oh, look how fun this is. Danny Jansen, yeah. When he gets back, wears the jacket. Oh, look how fun it is. Everybody's having fun. And then Bo hits one and doesn't. And
they go to put it on him, and he's like, no, I'm good. Yeah, thank
yeah.
you.
And then everybody else is like, oh, yeah, this is dumb. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I just texted you a punchline that I don't feel comfortable reading on air, but I just had to get it out. So don't read it, please. But I just wanted that to be known.
Okay. Yeah.
With the full buy-in of it all.
Well, what I will say, great restraint.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I personally, as your co-host, appreciate you keeping this to yourself and sending it to me.
Yes.
Discreetly.
You're welcome.
Moving on.
You're welcome. Moving on. Okay. Another. I just know we're going to get comments dying to know what it was now because of your
Even
reaction.
Patreon doesn't get to know this one. Nope,
not at all.
We die with this one, Adam.
Yeah. Okay, so another Patreon member reached out anonymously. Well, not anonymously. We know who it was. But we're not going to shame them. No. Mm-hmm. But it's just whatever. Here's what it is. Here's the comment. Hey, I didn't want to stir the pot with a public comment, but regarding home run celebrations, I kind of think Vladdy is being selfish, wanting his way. He was the same about the ice showers. I agree, one thing the whole team buys into would be the best, but this feels like Vladdy caring about Vladdy. Also, feels like focusing on past glory rather than something new that includes the new guys. Sorry, just had to get that off my chest.
And really, honestly, all of these comments that we just read, these are kind of the different sections of where the people's feelings are on it. And we got literally dozens and dozens for all of these different kind of sentiments towards the jacket. We'll leave it at this. And I know people feel strongly about it and we will just move on. I will say personally, I would love to see the team do something that the whole team wants to do.
What about an ice bath after every home run?
An ice bath after every home run. You put the jacket on. It's an ice jacket. It's an ice jacket. Every home run, you get an ice jacket.
Well, those new uniforms are barely see-through. They say they're see-through, but they're not. You add some ice water to that, and you'll be seeing through them in no time. So, okay, yeah, I don't know what else to say about this home run jacket.
There's not much else to say about it. I do kind of like the last comment of like, let's look forward. Listen, the jacket was a blast. I thought I loved the jacket in 2021. It was fantastic. And the carryover into 2022, sure. You know, and listen, there's always new guys joining a team and there's something to be said for trying to make them feel a part of it. You know, like everyone has been or had that moment, whether it was high school or with sports or whatever it is, you're joining a new team, you're going into a new class, and there's already those cliques and those friendships already formed. And you kind of feel like the outsider. Mm-hmm. And if they can, rather than I knew I shouldn't have used that word. It came to my mind, Adam.
You're
and I was like, don't do it. And I was like, I'm going to try it. But anyways, to make it worse, right? Like sometimes stuff like the jacket will make those feelings worse because they just don't feel like they're a part of it, right? And it can also unite, but I think something new that the whole team has decided on and is behind is the way to go in this. And the jacket is kind of looking backwards. Unless everyone wants the jacket back, then fuck me, just do it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I guess yeah, I'm more against the jacket than I am what the jacket represents, or like not what the jacket represents, but yeah, like just the home run celebration of it all. I think
Yeah, I'm
I'm
all
more
for a home
okay
run
with that in
celebration.
general.
Yeah.
Like if we had I don't know, curling brooms, and we went like broom sweep curling down the dugout. I don't know, it's just so something, you know. But
Yeah.
or like the, yeah, I don't know what the right answer is. Like a hockey stick, something Canadian, you know, like the Mariners have their trident. Let's have a home run hockey stick. I don't know. Put on a new tape job on your hockey stick after you hit a home run, right? Like, why not? Or just add tape. Don't take the last tape off, and just let's get that hockey stick nice and fat on the blade by the end of the season. Who knows? All right. On to non-jacket talk. Johnny on Patreon Tuesday, did some homework on Davis Schneider. Lots of love for Davis Schneider. What's not to love about the kid? Kid's got a great mustache. One of the most exciting starts to a pro baseball career of all time. Stats for Davis Schneider: first 20 Major League Baseball games, and then the final 15. So I think he played 35 games last year. So it's 20 for the first was awesome, off the charts. Next 15, and then the stats for spring so far. So through 20 Major League Baseball games, 65 at bats. Had a .385 batting average, 7 home runs, .846 slugging percentage. Next 15 baseball MLB baseball games, 51 at bats, had a .137 batting average, only one home run, and a slugging of .294. Yikes. And then so
Well,
far
he
the
went on that. Some people will remember this, but there was a 10-game span where he went hitless pretty much. He did finally break that at the end of the season, and in those 10 games, there were many days off in between. So it was really tough for him to kind of like dig in and try and get out of it, because he would play a game and then he'd be on the bench for a game. Not to make excuses, and obviously this is the sort of guy Davis Schneider is going to need to be to start his career, right? He's going to need to prove that he can stick at second or left or third or wherever he's playing positionally and play every game, which he hasn't done quite yet.
spring training numbers so far this year: 28 at bats, .214 batting average, .464 slugging. So, what does it all mean? Well, Johnny says, as much as I want to see the dude succeed, I don't think he can be treated as an MLB lock.
I
Which.
would agree with that. I would agree with that. Listen, for a few reasons too.
Because there has
Number
been
one,
a kind
David,
of vibe where we're just based on what he
assuming
did and the
he's
hot start he
on.
had, how could he not be on the team? There has been like a broad general consensus. So a little bit of cold water on that take. So continue.
Okay, so a few things about Davis Schneider. Number one, he has options. This is always bad news for a guy who's on the bubble like Davis Schneider is, because you know what? To make sure you don't lose Ernie Clement, who doesn't have options, to make sure that you can maybe fit Nathan Lucas in as the fourth outfielder, there may need to be some tough decisions made March 28th when the season starts. Another thing to keep in mind with Davis Schneider, and this is something he's talked about twice with us in AA when he came on the show and in AAA. He notoriously has slow starts. Look at his numbers in April in AA and AAA. He's around a 200 hitter. He heats up come May. He's a guy who he has an approach, and once he kind of finds that groove, he can stay in that groove, right? But it's finding it, and that's most hitters, and that's what spring training is all about. So could we see Davis Schneider start the year in Buffalo? I would be very surprised, but it's not at all impossible. And some strange things may go down to make sure that some of these assets aren't exposed to waivers and to other teams. That said, we're about to get into some injury updates here. I know there's a couple questions about stuff like that. You never know. There always seems like there's this big roster crunch coming into the season, and then more often than not, it just tends to work itself out. So we'll see.
Right. Someone hits a home run in spring training, bat flips, and then steps on their bat and rolls their ankle. All right.
Exactly.
Greg Kennedy on Twitter DM'd and said, "Hey guys, just listen to the Friday show. Home run jacket. I don't really give an F either way. LOL. Clement and Votto both make the team. Espinal should be sent down or traded as part of a package. Francis Bowden, I truly believe, will be a big-time player for us this season. Send Manoah down. I agree with you. If he kills it in AAA, then let him have at it down there. He really needs his confidence restored fully before he has an opportunity to come back up. Can always trade him as well."
And we won't spend too much time on this one, but because Adam and I talked about this pretty thoroughly on Friday. But yes, Alek Manoah's problem, personally, I don't know much, but I think it's between the ears. And I think giving him some runway to really start to build that confidence back up is definitely the right way to go about things, especially with him dealing with these tweaks and these injuries early on in spring training. Let him build up. Let him get comfortable in AAA. And if he's killing it in the middle of April and we need to move Mitch White down or whatever it may be, or God forbid there's a bad taco and one of these guys goes down for an extended period of time, then he's there and he's ready to go. But I don't wish to see Alek Manoah in this starting rotation until he's making the front office make that tough decision to bring him back up.
And yeah, for me, the question of like, if he's cooking and we need somebody and he's the best guy available, bring him up. It's like, yeah, okay, well, sure, that just makes sense, of course. But the more interesting, difficult question is, if we don't need someone and he's cooking, how long do you let him cook for? And like the idea of how Greg put it, he really needs his confidence restored fully before he has an opportunity to come back. It's just a delicate balance between fully confident Alek Manoah and disgruntled hashtag to the core Manoah. Right? Like, we don't want disgruntled Manoah where he is confident and he's so confident that he's going, why are they keeping me down here? Why are they doing this to me? Right? Mm-hmm. That's not good for anybody. So,
no.
Yeah, I think again, the tiedemann of it all, the health of everyone else is, there's so many factors that might never become an issue. This is all hanging, this difficult decision also hangs on him being really good in AAA, which I'm also not confident is going to happen. So, I don't know. Didn't look good so far in spring. I heard he's working on a new pitch, a cutter, to help, what do they call it? The movement between his fastball, his changeup, and his slider. There's apparently quite a gap in what his slider does versus his fastball. And the thoughts are the cutter will help make it harder for hitters to pick up on, oh, this is clearly a, I don't know if I buy it.
A bridge pitch. A bridge pitch to muddy the waters a little bit more as to what's coming out of his hand as guys are in the batter's box.
So who knows? Maybe Alek Manoah dominates this year, and fuck, would I ever love to see that. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
See, Adam, baseball analysis like this is why you and I are honorable mentions in the most influential Canadians in baseball in the country.
I'm sensing a little sarcasm there, Scott. Okay.
No.
All right. Wyatt on Patreon says, "Hey fellas, question for mailbag. If you like it, Wyatt, I like it. I like your monthly financial support, so we'll read your question. Pretty sure I already know the answer, but if George Springer continues to decline for the remainder of his time with the Blue Jays, who would you say contributed the least or had a worse contract, Springer or Ryu?"
Okay, let's start with the fact that I'm still very hopeful that we see George Springer put up more home runs this year than we've seen out of him in any of the past 3 years with him in a Blue Jays uniform. He seems to not be as focused on spraying the ball all over the field and is cheating a little bit to get ahead of the pitch. And he has been hitting some bombs. Honestly, he hit a dinger, I think it was 2 days ago, where I was like, I haven't seen him hit one that far in a while, right? Like last year, he had some wall scrapers. I think he still hit 20 home runs, but honestly, there wasn't that like Springer dinger, like, oh yeah, that's pushing 500 feet type of home run. And we finally saw one a couple days ago. So I'm hopeful that yes, George Springer's batting average goes down. George Springer maybe strikes out more than he has in the past 3 years, but we see his home run total go up. We see his slugging percentage go up and we see his OPS rise. Now, to Wyatt's question. In this question, that doesn't happen. And George Springer continues to decline over the next 3 years in this remaining 3 years of his contract. I think it's pretty safe to say, if that is the case, that the George Springer contract is more of a dud than the Hyunjin Ryu was. Ryu did come in and really help a young team in 2020 kind of get ready for that next push, right? As a playoff team. They made the playoffs in 2020. I know it was a 60-game season and a joke season, and there should be an asterisk next to everything that happened in 2020. And the Dodgers World Series doesn't really count, in my opinion. Sorry. That said, a very young core in Vladdy and Bo got to experience the playoffs for the first time in their career. And that was a lot on the back of Hyunjin Ryu, who finished third in Cy Young voting that year and really helped carry the team in 2021. He did start to experience injuries, missed time in 2022 and missed all of last season pretty much, only getting some pitching in. I think it was mid-August when he finally got back. Mm-hmm. And pitched well enough, right? He was able to come in and give them 4 to 5 innings here and do what he did. Obviously not worth $20 million a year, especially when you look at what Kevin Gausman's getting paid. But he did really open the door as Toronto as a landing spot for Koreans in the future. Ryu obviously is a hero in Korea back home where he's from. And we watched the same sort of thing happen with the Mariners and Ichiro. And that it become a gateway where Japanese players wanted to play that. And the hope is that the same thing has kind of happened for Toronto with Korea, right? There's a large population of Koreans that live in Toronto, Korean Canadians. And the fact that Ryu enjoyed Toronto so much, I think speaks really well to the future of that team being able to scout the South Pacific and bring players like Ryu over. Now, $80 million compared to $150 million is the biggest reason here. Ryu over 4 years, Springer over 6. This is a contract that handcuffed them a little bit more than maybe they originally anticipated, just because Springer hasn't been healthy and hasn't really produced to the level that they thought he would. He did when he was on the field in 2021 and 2022, as long as he was healthy, put up the numbers they were hoping he would. And then 2023, they went to all the trouble of getting Varsho in, getting Kiermaier in, making sure there was no way he was playing center, keeping him off his feet a little bit more. He played the most games he had played since he was an Astro and also had one of his worst seasons of his career. So in this question, which I honestly hope Wyatt is out to lunch on, my gut feeling is that the Springer deal will look worse than the Ryu deal at the end of this thing. If Springer doesn't have a good year, and he's 34. He's not ancient. We've seen lots of 34-year-olds change their swing, sell out a little bit more, in the batter's box and hit 30 to 40 dingers. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that's the case.
Could be.
What do you think? If you had to pick one, Adam,
George
as
Springer,
the worst con.
So
yeah,
much
okay.
worse.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all the points you talk about with, like, Ryu was our first foray into the spending and free agency for this window.
It was, and it broke the Boris embargo. Remember, right. In 2019, Boris was like, the blue flu, Blue Jays, don't sign big name players.
Yeah, so that is substantial. I think his influence on Manoah was something that we forget because of how Manoah's kind of fallen off. But I think that was a fun story to follow in, what was it, 2021?
Mm-hmm.
Through his rookie season there. I mean, yeah, just based on fewer years, fewer dollars, even if everything was the same, the Ryu contract is a easier pill to swallow, like if they were both equally bad. But on top of that, like you said, Ryu's first year in Toronto, third in Cy Young votes in that shortened 2020 season. Springer has never had a season so far with the Jays where he's just looked like, oh, thank God we have George Springer on the team. Like, I haven't even had a stretch of a couple weeks where it's like, man, oh, we're banging trash cans again. Springer knows how to hit these balls. Like,
yeah,
I just in 3 years have not seen it. Like,
mm-hmm.
So it's been underwhelming for 3 years. And as he gets older, everything is just being less exciting. Now, that said, yes, there is the chance for him to pull a Joey Votto and just reestablish himself as selling out for a hard swing like Votto did in his mid-30s, early 30s, right?
Because Votto, like, that's the thing. Joey went from being maybe one of the best contact hitters in baseball to hitting 30-plus home runs. You know, not a lot of guys can reinvent themselves like Joey did, but I think George Springer is a dude who has the skill set, who has the stuff between the ears to be able to pull that off, or at least, frick, I sure hope he does, because to this point, George Springer hasn't made me go, wow, $25 million a year well spent yet.
Yeah. So
he hasn't been horrible either. He just hasn't really been worth his contract, but I mean, I guess the truth is most free agents aren't.
There's a lesson in there somewhere. But yeah, I'd say give me the Ryu contract again. I don't even feel bad about that one. I mean,
no. I mean, it sucks he was injured.
The Tommy
as much
John
as he was,
sucked,
but
also they would have gotten their money back on the insurance for that. So,
yeah.
You know, if a guy's out with injury like that, you just re-spend the money on a different pitcher. But if a guy's just not playing well, like, I don't know. It's But I'm not a George Springer guy. I don't think I ever have been, and I would love to be. I would love to eat my words, and for this October, for everybody to be like, oh, Adam, your beard is so stupid, and you have such terrible takes on George Springer. I would love for that to be the case, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
This is such a successful season. If by the end of the year, you're a big George Springer guy, you love Joey Votto and had forgiven him, and you're wearing a To The Core t-shirt.
Oh, wouldn't it be? To The Core underneath my open City Connect jersey.
Yes. Love it. All right.
All right. A couple more. We're
getting long in the tooth
here.
Yeah.
So let's try and squeak these last few in. Mish says, okay, I'm not panicking, but what the F is up with all the arm inflammation amongst not only our pitchers, and then in brackets, add Swanee and Romano to the list this morning, but throughout the league this spring. Has something changed with the balls again, the size, the weight, anything that could throw off mechanics, no pun intended? Reach out to your contacts in Dunedin. Get a message to Pete Walker. Have them investigate. Okay, maybe a little panic, but I'm genuinely interested. I don't remember shit like this last spring.
So let's start with that. This shit didn't happen last spring, which is one of the reasons why we really got to hope that the offense gets their shit together here, because we're not going to have another season like last year where pitchers just didn't get injured. Look back on the last 20 years of Blue Jays baseball. There's 2 years that stand out, 2016 and last year, where pitching health was insanely lucky. Like, both 2016 and 2023, I think the Blue Jays had like 7 or 8 total guys make starts. Like, that's not something that happens in baseball. We're well aware that arm injuries have become an epidemic in this sport, not just in Major League Baseball, but across the world. You go to Japan, they're dealing with all sorts of arm injuries as well. They deal with Tommy John surgery at a slightly higher rate than Major League Baseball does. I think if there was an answer to this question, Mish, it would have already been answered. The truth is, the human body is not supposed to throw baseballs at 95 plus miles an hour over 100 pitches an outing. It's just not a thing. And you know what? As you ramp up a lot of these guys, it's slight soreness, right? It's precautionary because they're trying to build that strong base where they can go through the rigors of a season and not need to take as much time off as maybe you would if you hadn't prepared properly. There are smarter people to answer this, though. This is just like off the top of my head, you know, a little bit of recency bias, because recently we didn't have pitchers getting injured. So now that we're seeing it happen, we're like, well, this is weird. What's going on? But it's good to remember, oh no, this is a thing. This is a thing that every team in baseball deals with regularly. Anything to add, Adam? I know you're looking stuff up right now.
Before we hit record, I was watching the Chris Rose rotation. That is a subsidiary of Jean Boy Media. And he had Chris Bassett on, I guess, yesterday. The title of this video is Why Chris Bassett Thinks Baseball Has a Problem with Pitching Injuries. So I would say I'll link to this video in the comments. Mish, go have a watch of this one. Looks like at the last 50, this is a 45-minute video. The last 15 minutes, I think, they talk about this Athletic article discussing the lack of healthy arms in baseball. Like I said, I haven't seen it yet, but Chris Rose is legit. Obviously, Bassett being a Blue Jays guy, there's got to be relative or relevant information that might be right what you're looking for. I will say,
I'm by the way, oh, go ahead, Adam, finish your thought.
No, it's going to be a new thought. So,
okay, well, then I will say, if this is something that does interest you, grounds crew members, as you watch this, you're like, I want to know more about Tommy John, the arm injury epidemic that's going on in baseball, and why it's so prevalent. I read a book by Jeff Passan, ESPN analyst and one of the top dogs in all of baseball when it comes to content creation and just being a writer and analyst. The book is called The Arm, and he really dives into Tommy John surgery, what it takes to recover from it. He goes over to Japan in the second half of the book, and he really dives into the epidemic there. And that's how you kind of find out. You're like, holy shit. Like, this isn't just a North American thing. Like, this is happening everywhere. Now, the book was written 7 years ago, but what's really wild is we really haven't progressed much since this book. So check it out. The Arm, Jeff Passan, if arm injuries is something that interests you in this game.
Yeah, great. Great recommendation from Scott there. I will say I'm reading this Athletic article. This is from March 8th, so last week. Prominent MLB team physician sounds alarm on pitching injuries. So this is an article by Ken Rosenthal and Eno Saris. They're interviewing Dr. Keith Meister, who is not the inventor of the Tommy John surgery, but has quite a reputation with the way he's revolutionized the way it is done. Jacob deGrom is the latest big, I guess, whatever. Anyways, I don't need to give Dr. Keith Meister's credits. So his point is that he cites the advent of the sweeper and power changeup as significant reasons for the spike, and that teams are exacerbating the problem by emphasizing pitcher performance over availability. Now, this is not a secret. This has been a problem with baseball for a while, but it's coming to the forefront, I suppose. The quote here is, "These front offices, unfortunately, are living more in the moment than taking a longer, broader-term view," Meister said. "There is a way to manage this. What if a guy doesn't have a whip of 0.8? What if he has a whip of 1.1, but he's able to play 162 games? I think this just... did I lose Scott? Is Scott gone? Scott's pooping. Man, I really gotta... oh, I'm panicking now. Okay, point being here is that... I don't know what makes this year worse than last year, other than it does seem like a growing trend that every year is getting worse. This article shows as teams increase their emphasis on velocity and stuff, injury list placements for pitchers rose from 241 league-wide in 2010 to 552 in 2021. Before decreasing slightly each of the last two seasons. And the total days that pitchers spent on the injured list more than doubled over a slightly longer span. So all this to say is that I don't think it's like suddenly this year's worse in a sense, other than like, yeah, it's worse because it's always getting worse just because that's the general trend of like arm injuries. But I don't think that that means the ball is heavier, the seams are different or anything like that. But yeah, I think it's just a continued pressure on these teams to be like, yeah, it's a bullpen arm. Let's go fucking throw him as hard as he fucking can. Once he's
hurt,
really
interesting.
Who cares?
Let's get another
guy
to
throw just as hard.
About prioritizing results over longevity. And I think that that's kind of the crux of this epidemic and has been since arm injuries were a thing, right? Like you go back to the 60s and the 70s and arm injuries weren't as prevalent. Now the guys were not throwing near as hard, but they were throwing way more. Now, obviously, sports science has come a long way and they are aware of what wears down arms and what doesn't. And overusage is definitely a problem that they have worked really hard to overcome. But with so much emphasis on spin rate and velocity and tunneling and like all these things that honestly, it's just like a little extra wear, a little extra wear.
So here's just go read the article, listen to this interview with Chris Bassett and Chris Rose. But here's an interesting point from this article. Meister recalls hearing the late Johnny Sain, a former major league pitcher, an independent-minded pitching coach, say when a pitcher is holding a ball correctly, he should grip it in a way that he could throw a raw egg without breaking it, which brings me back to that old like Mighty Ducks passing when they're passing eggs and cradling it, right? And how today is the exact opposite. Pitchers apply a quote death grip to the ball, essentially preloading every muscle in their arms. And then at release, those muscles actually lengthen and is what is known as eccentric contraction. The result can almost be like a hamstring tearing, affecting different pitchers in different parts of the arm differently. And we're seeing all these tears in the lat and tears, all these tears of the previously reconstructed ligament, a lot more flexor tendon tears. I could tell you it is a consequence of predominantly those two pitches, the sweeping slider and those hard movement changeups. So that's the opinion of a world-renowned arm surgeon who's doing Tommy John's on the best pitchers in baseball. So it maybe that's it, the hard sweeping slider and the hard movement changeup just generally the intensity with which pitchers are becoming more and more expendable, right? Like other than being your real workhorse, your top of the rotation guys, your nine figure contract types.
Right? I mean, the Rays prove this constantly, what you're saying,
right? Like maybe you'd be okay with Gerrit Cole pitching at 90% effort because you've got a financial investment long-term. But other than that, right, like all of the guys who are fourth, fifth starters and beyond or bullpen arms, there's not a whole lot of motivation from the team side to take care of those arms, right? They are expendable and yeah, it's
painful. And the mentality of more and more front offices taking the mentality of use the bullets while you got them, we're seeing become more and more prevalent. We're seeing pitchers used younger and younger. And one thing to keep in mind when it comes to Tommy John surgery as well, when it comes to recovery, 94% of pitchers fully recover from the first Tommy John surgery. And it's under 50% for the second Tommy John surgery. This is from the Jeff Passan arm book, but one thing that he mentions is that more and more teenagers are getting Tommy John surgery because so many pitchers come back from TJ and they literally get a bump in velocity. I know we talked to TJ Brock. He's pitching right now, probably going to be in the bullpen of the Buffalo Bison sooner than later. My guess is he starts in New Hampshire in Double A and then gets the call up. He's only 22 years old. He was in Vancouver last year. He throws 101 and he's had TJ, and increased velocity of almost 4 miles an hour, he said. Like, it's a big deal, right? To go from 97 to 101, it's a big deal. Like, it's just enough that it's the difference between a double and a foul ball.
Well, it's funny too, like, because I don't know how you end this epidemic of arm injuries, right? Like, once you're at the point where we're at, where more and more young arms are pushing themselves to such a pace, like anybody who's in the show, their job depends on them throwing at absolute max effort every time they're holding the ball and not trying to be gentle with the raw egg. Because if they don't, you know, if they're going out 90, 95 effort and they're only throwing 93, 94, well, there's a guy who wants your job who's giving it 100% effort and is just hoping that the ligament holds and that he can get your job in the meantime, right? And then on top of that, like you said, with the high school pitchers and college pitchers getting Tommy John, which is like bananas to me whenever I like meet someone who has Tommy John surgery and like never played in the show. I was like, what are you doing, man? You
know? Yeah.
But like you said,
and there's the lots
seems,
of them too.
But the way it seems to work where like you take a year off and now you throw harder, you're almost like incentivized to throw. Like you're almost like, oh, come on, give me that Tommy John in my senior year of high school so that I'm better in college and I don't have to miss a year of my college career. Or like, you know, so it's like from the time you're 14, you're like just fucking trying to get Tommy John because it'll make you better. And it's hard to wrap my mind around. Right.
So. And honestly, dude, like some of the stories in this book, The Arm, it's disgusting. Right. Like just stories of parents pushing for Tommy Johns at 15 and stuff like that. Just insane stuff. Anyways, there are much smarter people and better information out there than Adam and I, but great question.
Okay. Let's two wrap more up. Here. The last one is not, is not something to respond to anyway. So Deb says, if you guys are looking to fill some content time before the regular season starts, I wouldn't mind hearing from the Mariners walk-off affiliate, maybe a crossover show or just as guests on the Blue Jays walk-off. So we'll have to get,
Juan.
I was really hoping you had Jordy. The name ready. Jordy. Yes, thank you. There you go. We'll clip that together so there's no pause.
It's funny because I always call him Bot. And then I was just like, what's his first name again?
All right. So there you go. And then the last one here, we talked last week about the pitcher's mound being at 60 feet, 6 inches for no real apparent reason that was any good. So we got loads of fun stories explaining why it's 60 feet, 6 inches as opposed to just 60. A lot of like math explanations that were all made up. A lot of fun, fancy stories. This one from Ian, I think, takes the cake. So we're going to read this one. But everybody else, honorable mention. Ian says, as we all know, baseball was invented in Cooperstown, New York, but so was the hot dog. Prior to that, traditional phallical cuisine was a sausage or bratwurst. But in upstate New York, they had no use for the lips and assholes of the pig, so they invented the hot dog to reduce processing waste. While discussing the rules of the game, enjoying the local cuisine, one of the players suggested pitching distance of 121 hot dogs as the baseball diamond sat on 121st Street. With the length of the hot dog at the time being 6 inches, you get the distance we all know, 60 feet, 6 inches. Chef's kiss.
Love it. Love it.
There you go. Okay, that's your mailbag for this week. Next week, we'll be on the precipice of the ball season starting. So,
can't wait. Thank the good close. Baseball lords above. Yes. thank you so much, Grounds Crew. Always appreciate the interaction, the support, the comments. It's always great to hear everyone's different opinions because the opinions vary widely. You can always reach out on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. The Instagram account is the Walk Off Podcast. And if you're looking for some baseball talk and you don't have anyone in your life to fulfill that need, try our Discord. Give it a go. They're wild in there. Thanks again, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Cheers.